Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, the last day of August, 2023. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County. In Durango, Colorado, we broadcast at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet and want to tune us in, you can do all that. Just go to our website, ksje.com. We also want to welcome our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page and also to our YouTube channel. So welcome aboard, everyone. Glad that you are all with us this morning. We have a morning full of art today here on KSJE, beginning in the next few moments with guests from the San Juan College Art Gallery here on campus. We'll be talking about the newest exhibit, which is opening tomorrow, all about stained glass. So we'll talk more about that in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking in with Theater Ensemble Arts. They are getting ready to perform their latest production outdoors at Lyons Wilderness Park Amphitheater. They'll be joining me to talk about Much Ado About Nothing. That is coming up later on this morning at 8:50 a.m. right here on KSJE as well. Next hour, we will switch things over to classical music. Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts at 9:06 after the news. And don't forget, we invite you to connect with us on our other social media platforms. You can follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, or connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube. And if you're a podcast person, you can subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts, wherever you're already probably listening to them, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts and Pandora. The list goes on and on. You can maybe discover a new local program that you may have missed from KSJE. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, a sunny Thursday morning, 66 degrees at the moment. It's expected to be sunny and hot today with a high of 93 this afternoon. Partly cloudy overnight tonight, the low 63. Then tomorrow, partly sunny skies on Friday, the high 92 and 64 overnight. Then by Saturday, maybe a little bit cooler, 87 for a high with a 50% chance of rain showers. And an overnight low of 63. Sunny and cooler on Sunday with a high of 85. 83 on Monday and Tuesday with overnight lows. Look at that, in the mid-50s. Fall in the air, perhaps. Back with my guests with more right after this on KSJE. Back in Studio A with my guest this morning. Again, our topic is stained glass and the art and talent behind it. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk a little bit about the latest exhibit to enhance the walls of the Henderson Fine Arts Center Gallery. Gallery coordinator Julian Apentek is here. Welcome back to KSJE. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Happy to be back.
Great to have you. Also joining us here in the studio, John Nichols is here. He is an artist and stained glass instructor here at San Juan College. And John, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Scott.
You bet. Great to have both of you here to talk about this new exhibit, which opens, I believe, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah.
So the timing is perfect, I think, right? We were on the calendar and looking at that. And so, Julie, talk to me a little bit about this show that you and John have put together, right?
Yes. So this is the second year that has come to the Henderson Fine Art Gallery. The debut show was last June. And there was such a great reception for it. I wasn't around for it. I just started last November. But from what I've heard,
right,
it was a great reception. So John contacted me and talked about doing another show. He showed me some videos and some photos from the show from last year, and it looked really great. And, you know, we're trying to always bring in new mediums and new subjects and new styles. And so stained glass is definitely something different. So It seems like the perfect fit
right.
to get it in there for a slot this year.
There you go. And I know you've both been working on it. At least this week I saw you over there working on it. Probably more hours than I saw. But John, talk to me a little bit about kind of, like I said, the art of stained glass. This is something you've been teaching now for a while here at San Juan College, correct?
Sure. Started and learning the craft in 1975, 76. After I went to Fort Lewis for a year, I went back to Long Island, where I grew up, and took a few adult ed classes, and then all of a sudden, you know, push came to shove, and the instructor was leaving, and I jumped in his place, and I never looked back.
The rest is history, so, as they say. Yeah. And what is it about that medium that you enjoy so much?
The opportunity to be so creative with the medium of working with glass or colored glass that can enhance pretty much anybody's life and have any kind of subject matter,
as we'll see,
traditional to the nuances of everyday life that we live today.
Right. And stained glass, I mean, has been around for a long time. I mean, if you go to do any traveling and visit, you know, some of these historic churches and cathedrals and things that come to mind right away, but I'm sure there were other places too.
Yeah, and medieval times to now, the way that the glasses are made and the different oxides and products that are used to make the actual glasses themselves, different types, different heats, that kind of thing.
Right.
The opportunity to have tradition and the historical implications that you were saying to the more very much with it, very modern, abstract styles. You know, there's a lot to be said, and they can still be made the same way with the same processes.
Right. Versatile, I guess, too, right, in the design and what you can do with it as an artist.
Yeah, as we were speaking about how the studio's put together with so many high-tech things, we can do that also with the designs and the energy involved with that.
Right, right. Amazing. And the fact that it's been around for so long, I guess, tells us that maybe that whole light, that artwork, that vision has kind of attracted artisans for centuries.
I would agree. There were some times where in the last 50 years there has not been as much interest, and then it's regained the energy necessary to bring it up to a new approach. There's different opportunities for where you can purchase raw materials and finished products,
right,
as well as, you know, with the internet and Etsy and other places like that. It's very far reaching, not just nationally, but internationally and worldwide.
Sure. Well, or folks can take a class
right
from you.
Exactly.
Right, and learn how to do it themselves if they have something they'd like to create, right?
Yes, sir. The college has a great program with the Encore program, designed with some respects to the older student.
Right.
And there's a lot of opportunities that really branch out. And in the last spring and fall, or the last spring and winter programs we had up in and around 50 students in the different classes that we were offering, four times a week, different ideas, different titles. We've got a very good following and a glass community we've built here.
Very true, very true. And I know Encore is available for everybody.
Yes, sir.
But it's kind of designed for the older, maybe retired folks, but anyone is welcome to take an Encore class.
Yes, sir.
So that's what you're talking about. You were telling me that one of the pieces we're going to see today was created over two semesters?
Yeah, it's taken a little over two semesters. It's a 38 by 38 inch, nicely wooden framed piece of the Shiprock, as you're seeing now here
there it is.
The display.
Right. Two semesters.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is big. You're reminding us that this is when you see it in person.
Very solid side. It's all reinforced and it's all detail oriented. So you don't see the reinforcement. You wouldn't know it's there. But something of that size, you have to have that structure and structural integrity.
Right. Right. And that's, I guess, a big part of all stained glass pieces, right? Is you can make something as intricate as you want, but will it hold together is the other part of it.
Correct. And with the different styles and ways to manufacture them, Lafarge and Tiffany did the copper foil technique from the late 1800s. And before that, lead-oriented fabrication was also known with some of the old churches you related to earlier with historic
Right.
Background.
And that can cause issues, I guess, for restoration and things like that if you use lead in your...
Yes, because it does wear down and age over time. And if it's not just the lead, it's also the putty involved in using or whatever it was involved to set the glass in the framings.
I'm going to start comparing myself to stained glass as someone who wears down over time. But that's okay.
I think our society is going to be able to be a good relationship with that.
Right. I hear you. That's true. Well, let's take a look at some other pieces that are in the show that Julie was able to gather for me. And thank you again for sending these over. And you can maybe tell us a bit more about some of these pieces that we're going to take a look at and what's involved. Because, again, this is maybe a more, I would call it traditional. What would you say?
Yeah, this one has a little bit of a uniqueness with specialty bevels as the focus point in the center of the panel. And then on the inside borders, there's also some rectangular bevels. So the idea here was to use some colors and have some density opportunity to give the bevels a chance to jump out at you.
Okay.
And when it's you see it hung in the gallery or in natural light, you'll get some different opportunities to relish what those bevels can do. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet, when natural light hits it.
Okay.
It gives you a different effect.
Right. And that's something that's unique to all stained glass, I think, windows as well, right? When the light hits it, whether it's a sunny day or a cloudy day, or depending on what side of the house or building it's on, it's a whole different look.
Right. Natural light, incandescent light, fluorescent light, it's all a little bit unique. And then on something like this, where there's a background showing that it doesn't have a lot of light coming from behind it yet, when you have something that's backlit, it gives you an opportunity to really change the look.
Right. And I know for a time in architecture, a lot of homes were built with some, not all, stained glass windows in certain parts of the house and things like that. That was just a part of the construction.
Yes, sir. And you know, an idea, an example of that would be a lot of the Frank Lloyd Wright products, from mostly known in the Illinois area, and branched out from that, and other architects took that and ran with it.
Right.
But yes, that's in the gallery, you'll see some small pieces with some use of bevels and some unique geometrics, which would be referenced to the Frank Lloyd Wright era.
Interesting. Okay, very good. Let's take a look at some other pieces. This one looks like it's totally New Mexican, right, with the hot air balloons. It has to be.
Yeah, we had a really nice piece done with this.
And let me just remind the radio audience, if you're not watching us on video, you're missing out on all these visuals of the pieces that we're showing. So you can watch it later on YouTube or Facebook, but we are describing some of these images that we're displaying this morning, and so talk to me about this one.
And maybe also get a chance, if I may say, to come to the show.
Well, that would be a good point too, John.
4 o'clock on Friday.
That's a very
just
good
to bring that up.
Point.
That's the whole idea.
That's why we're here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
You know, what's unique is, especially because we have some thoughts and some different subject matter from New Mexico. Ballooning is certainly very popular, and this artist was incorporating some unique colors and something simple but yet very elegant in their presentation.
Right, right. And we can see that here, and a great shot again. There's another one, another typical kind of New Mexican, right?
But we talked to this one gentleman, said he was going through the roads up towards Madrid and in there, and saw one of these signs and had bullet holes and stuff in it, and he wanted to reproduce it. And he got very close in the presentation of it, and I was really proud of him for this. He finished it about 2 years ago, and I asked him if he'd bring it back in because he wasn't able to make last year's show.
Nice.
So I was very proud of him bringing it in.
Historic Route 66 highway sign is what we're talking about. So that's what he has been
and
able to recreate.
And that's a clear background. That's a water glass effect with a clear background to give you that opportunity to have the sign jump out at you.
Nice. Yeah, you can kind of see how that would work. Here's another different shot, maybe a different desert scene.
Yes, saguaro cactus. And what was unique to this was minifiori pieces of glass as flowers that were incorporated into really have some three dimension to it. And the uniqueness, as you both see in the glass choice, is very rippled and very unique to the cactus itself to give you the effect that it's more surrealistic.
Right, got it. And it's hard to maybe see in the picture that we're showing, but there are some blossoms on the top of the cactus,
exactly,
which you're talking about, and that's where some of those other pieces, unique pieces of glass are
installed. And that shows the opportunity for the creativity of the artist.
Right.
And that's very, very important. It's very easy to go and here's a pattern book or here's a pattern offered and make something with, you know, green glass and a background and a yellow sun. But when you get to the point of being unique and picking the glasses specific and adding to maybe a said pattern or drawing your own,
right,
that's what's so important, to really relish their opportunity to get their point across to those of us who are looking at it.
Sure. Well, and each glass has a different kind of effect with lighting,
yes,
and
sir,
things like that, as
exactly,
you talked about. And some you can see through, some you can't.
Very good. Cathedral, CD antiques. You have your opalescence, wispy opalescence. So it gives you a range, just like a palette of paints,
right,
but in a different medium.
Right. Very true. Very true. Here's another one that is a favorite of mine because it's really pretty cool.
Very cool. This is
right
back
the,
to the 60s.
The old VW bus, right? The Volkswagen,
yep,
van, right?
Yep.
And so this one looks like it could be hung, I think.
Yeah, it can be hung, and actually in the show we've put it on a podium.
Okay.
And we're allowing light to come from both sides to give you that effect, to sort of see, you know, where it might work in a environment at the home.
Right. Now, something like this that's not in a maybe wooden frame has to be more structurally,
yep,
sound,
there,
I would say, I guess?
Yes, sir. There's different types of wire in this specific one. There's copper wire integrated into it. And you can also see for the rack on top, there's some unique wire to give you that effect. But that also pulls into the integrity of the piece.
Right. And really some three-dimensional,
yes,
looks,
sir,
to it as well. You can see the depth of the van.
The depth of the van, the effect of the VW logo on the front and the mirrors on either side, plus the roof rack.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Very cool.
Yeah, very creative.
And the headlights, too, seem to be three-dimensional, yep, too, right? A little bit.
Yeah, she used some glass orbs and jewels for both the parking lights and the headlights.
See? There you go. Very cool. Okay. This one is another different design. This is two birds.
Yeah, it's a totem piece.
Thank you.
And I think that's a really good way to say it with respect to the culture in the area.
Yes.
And she did a wonderful job with it. And again, three-dimensional with different types of beads and orbs, both sides of the panel, so you get an effect from either side of what you're looking at.
Okay.
And also some iridized glass, which is almost like gasoline on water type of thing, that effect of all the colors, but you're still able to see through it in this,
right,
specific instance, how they did it.
Okay, depending on how the light hits it, I guess, right,
okay,
is what you see.
Exactly.
Got it. And so what would you tell folks who say, well, I'm not an artist, I can't draw these designs, can I still create something,
sure,
in this medium?
Sure, there's a variety of very basic to very intrinsic and detailed type patterns that are available, be both in books or individually if you don't want to use your own creativity.
Okay.
And you'll reproduce those in such a way that there's a way that you'll put the pattern onto a hard copy or a cardstock, and you're able to cut those out with the thought of where those all intersect, and those lines give you space for the foil, the solder, the lead.
Okay. How forgiving is working with stained glass?
In the sense of
if I make a mistake, can
getting
I fix
around,
it?
Getting around the apprehension of cutting yourself when you're first learning.
Sure.
And you working with a grinder and hand files and whatnot, or even a saw for that matter, we're very fortunate to have those and work with it. So it makes something that could be very difficult a lot more comfortable to the,
okay,
newbie.
Right. I guess, I mean, if a piece doesn't fit exactly, I can just make a new piece.
Or grind it down a little bit, depending on what you have.
What's not fitting.
Right.
Got it.
Fit.
Very good. Here's another one. These are a couple of bears roasting marshmallows, which happens all the time.
Well, it was really unique because we have an area of the show on both of the back corners of the show. We have yard art, and we also have sort of an outdoorsy area.
Yeah.
With a couple of more designs that you'll see in just a moment. And I tried to pull it all together with Julie's support to, you know, go through what might work best where. And I think it worked out really well. But that's a pretty neat little piece because it's different.
Yeah, no, very different. And again, you can kind of see some personality, I think,
exactly,
coming through too.
Instead of just painting, and the person who did this is a phenomenal artist, and she's done a lot of different types of watercolors as well as acrylics and oils. And she came in and she said, I want to do this. And if you look closely when you do walk through the show, there's texture to the marshmallows. So it looks like it's actually
bubbling a little bit, maybe.
Burning.
Yeah. Yeah. Cooking.
On a bonfire, you know?
So, I like that. Very cool. Very nice.
This is a phoenix, so it's coming, rising from the ashes. And it was very, very nicely approached with the colors. And really, instead of just big flames or, you know, sun or something like that, this gave you some ideas of the blending of colors.
Right. Lots of reds, lots of oranges.
Yeah. And you know, the turquoise in the eye, that sort of gives you an effect to the cultural area, too.
Right. Very, you know? Very true. And then these two are pieces that are embedded into snowshoes.
Yes, sir.
Else can you say?
Our artist here wasn't quite sure what direction to go, but she had a really neat little bevel of a whale, mm-hmm. and wanted to incorporate that. And this came from, these snowshoes came from Montana, and I think up in that area there was a area of water or a lake, and so we pulled it all together and had some fun with it. The bear is some very unique specialty glass that's used, and it gives you a really nice effect, and the background was a myriad of all architectural designs with a clear background.
Okay.
So it was allowing a lot of the light to come through, but reference the bear as a silhouette.
Sure. Really stands out.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
And there you go. And that's the samples that we have. There's much more in the show
than
what we've showed.
31 persons art and about 59, 60 pieces of art.
Okay.
Work.
Nice.
So.
Very good. All from your students.
Yes, all from the students. And that's the whole idea, to help promote from beginning to advanced at whatever level, so people who are questioning it, like we were talking about earlier, may be apprehensive because they can't draw, they're not good with color, they can't see as well. We're here to help them and grow them, and there's something for everybody in this show from start to finish, beginning to advanced.
As we've seen, that's true, yeah. Very true. And Julie, as John reminded me, there is a reception for this show tomorrow.
There sure is, yeah,
okay.
Tomorrow, Friday, September 1st, starting at 4 p.m., going to 6 p.m., and there will be light refreshments served, which is always a good draw to get people in. So come on by if you're free. Come on by tomorrow afternoon and take a look at some of the art.
Well, and I want to make the point, too, that you didn't actually drive and park near the gallery.
That's a great point.
For this show, whereas prior shows this summer with some construction, it was a little bit of a contest to find your way to the gallery. But the roads are reopened. The parking lots, I believe, have reopened in front of the Henderson Fine Arts Center.
Absolutely,
So getting here won't be quite as much of a challenge as it was maybe a month or so ago.
Exactly.
So that'll be a nice thing, too.
Definitely.
But the show will run from tomorrow all the way till the 29th.
The 29th, yep.
And the gallery's open Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Very good. And will any of these pieces be for sale or available, or is that up to the individual?
It's up to the individual. I think in this case, a lot of the students and the artists were kind of very proud of what they made. So there's definitely more pieces not for sale than are. There are some that are available.
Okay.
So you can definitely add a unique piece to your collection if you see one that you like that's for sale.
Right.
But, you know, definitely great to come by anyway and still appreciate the artwork and maybe get inspired to sign up for a class and make a piece yourself.
Very true.
That's the whole idea, to you know, show what's available to the community, because this is also not just for those of us who are students and administrators and people involved in the college appreciating what the college has done for us, but also getting it into the opportunity of, hey, I want to take a class and try this.
Yeah.
You know, you like it, great. If you don't, we've had a few people that have gone in a different direction and tried something else too.
Sure.
But it's always there for the taking. And I was going to also say, if there is anything that somebody sees but doesn't like the colors or whatever, we will take orders on pieces.
Okay.
And then, of course, we'd like to incorporate back into any kind of income coming in, back to the gallery and back to San Juan College,
sure.
As a donational portion.
Right. That's kind of how it does work sometimes, right?
Like with these shows. Just like to bring it up and make sure that people are aware that if they have questions or something, don't be afraid to ask.
Right. But you're teaching these classes, John, again this semester?
Yes, sir.
And again in the wintertime?
Yeah. They just started this past Monday, and beginning classes will also start the 9th of September. That'll go through the second week of October, then October through the 13th of December for the next group of classes.
Okay.
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, and Saturday mornings.
Okay. On Encore, right? We can look it up and sign up there.
Yep.
Very good. Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in to talk with me a little bit about this show. And Julie, is there any kind of tease for what's coming up next after Stained Glass? Can you give us a little preview of what you have for October, maybe?
Yeah, so October, the opening reception is going to be on October 6th. It's going to be with an artist. His name is Bradley Kaknowitz, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's based up in Bayfield, Colorado. He's a mixed media self-taught artist, and he does this kind of mix between representational and abstract artwork. So some of it's fully abstract, some of it is like kind of a combination of representational and abstract. So a lot of it is kind of inspired by the landscape, and there's a lot of florals, and it's all very colorful, and a lot of it's on kind of a larger scale, so it should be an interesting show.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to that in October, but for now, it is Stained Glass on the walls of the Henderson Fine Arts Center Gallery. We should mention that admission to the gallery is free.
Absolutely.
And so folks can come by. Again, the reception is tomorrow and Friday. In the afternoon, what time again?
4 p.m. to 6 p.m.
4 to 6, thank you. And there will be some refreshments.
Yes, light refreshments.
Okay, very good. Thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
You're very welcome. Nice to talk to both of you. My guest this morning here on KSJE, Stained Glass Expressions at the Henderson Fine Arts Center Gallery, opening tomorrow. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.